This is so exciting. What if it gets nominated for an Oscar?
Voila! No, we must keep the carriage in the wake of the mayor. Oh. Golden Globe, perhaps, but I won't let myself envisage that.
I gotta say, the special effects look way better than what I pictured when you described it.
David faces an uncomfortable situation when Alexis assumes she's his maid of honor, which unfolds during the guy's wedding suit shopping spree. Johnny and Roland find signs of a potentially dangerous squatter in their new motel property, and Moira hassles Jocelyn for not liking her new movie trailer. So get ready to say yes to the dress shirt as we unpack Season 6, Episode 4, Maid of Honor.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, 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 Katie. It's Season 6, Episode 4, Maid of Honor.
Yes.
Those wedding bells are getting louder.
This is an important episode, important role to play. An important role is decided tonight.
Katie, you were just maid of honor like weeks ago.
I was. It's a job. I have to say.
Mind, body, soul.
Yeah. Not that I wouldn't want to do it all over again, but it's a lot of responsibility these days.
Yeah. I've been a maid of honor as well back in my younger 20s, and we'll talk all about those experiences and more tonight. Before we jump into this week's episode, though, we did a couple polls last week. Do you have that data for us, Katie?
Yes, Stephanie, you put out do turtles pets make, however you worded
the Yoda,
that,
the Yoda,
the Yoda format.
Yeah.
So in the turtly poll, we definitely had some turtle lovers amongst our friends. Only 21% said absolutely not, which I was expecting was going to be the biggest answer. Yes.
My mom was even like, depends on the turtle. But
she was the depends answer.
She's got a pond in her backyard, and I realized we didn't specify indoor or outdoor, so maybe that's...
Okay, well, I'm thinking indoor in a tank, like domesticated.
Like what Alexis was dealing
with.
Yeah.
So 21% only said absolutely not. 26% said turtly yes, and depends on the turtle got over half of the votes, so... Yeah. You also
out there.
I liked that you also asked about airlines. So you asked for the sketchiest airlines and then the fanciest airlines, right? Mm-hmm. So tie for sketchiest goes to our two sketchiest, Frontier and Spirit. They both tied at 40% of our votes. And we got a couple other answers. Let me see if I can find those. One person wrote in Ryanair. I remember that. And I do. I have heard of that. Never flown it. I don't think it flies anywhere that that
you
I go.
You would want to go.
Mark sent us a funny video that says Spirit Airlines motto. And he said, Spirit Airlines be like, you paid $30 for this flight and we got you to your destination. What more do you want?
Basically.
Back on the turtle note, someone wrote in and said they have three pet turtles. Two are land turtles and one is a water turtle.
Ooh,
that feels like tell me your boy mom without telling me your boy mom, right?
Kinda, yeah.
And then Ryanair was the one we got that was being voted for sketchy. That was the write-in.
That sounds like an offshoot of Larry.
It really does, right? So then you also asked about bougiest airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And in that poll, you gave a few options. Your options were Emirates, British Airways, Virgin Atlantic, and other, of course. Emirates got 64%. We commented on that. And I was...
beautiful flight attendants.
Before you even put this poll out too, I then did Google myself the bougiest airlines, and Emirates came up. Singapore Air also came up. Qatar, which is big in Australia, which also came up. British Airways got 27%. Emirates got 64%. Not sure if I told you the total there. Okay. Virgin Atlantic got 0, which I was surprised at.
I saw that one on the list too. I always think of what's the name of the guy? Richard Branson.
Yeah.
It's like Virgin Mobile and Virgin Airlines. It's kind of like a Larry Air where he started with the deli and then he has to do
he started
too.
With something else and he just decided.
Yeah.
So for the other votes for that category, we got a few messages for those as well. Singapore Airlines from Frances. She is the one that commented Ryanair for the last. Mm-hmm. And Qatar. Denisha wrote in and said, Qatar is very good, comparable to Emirates. Okay. So those are a couple good ones. There were a lot when I looked. I can't remember the names of them now, but a couple based in Japan that I had never heard of or flown on, which makes sense because I've never been to that part of the world.
Right.
So someday, maybe.
I'm excited for when we eventually go to India and potentially being on a flight where they serve meals. First of all, I've never been on a flight where we're served
You've never
meals.
Had a meal yet, even.
I've never had a meal, but I think we watched a YouTube video. Or he was explaining, Sushat was explaining to me, like, the food you get on, like, Indian Airways, and the food looked bomb. So I'm like, that would be,
I have to be
a
honest,
great experience.
I'm kind of picky about food situations like that and prepared things, but I have had decent experiences with my food on airplanes.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
pleasantly
it's that
surprised.
Or the little crackers with airplanes on them. So it's like your options.
Yes.
Kind of
definitely. I've definitely been pleasantly surprised. There's always something that I'm willing to eat. And it's usually like a good round meal that has a roll and a salad and a meal and a dessert and extra stuff for you.
Yeah.
So
nice.
Well, that'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
When that day comes.
Whenever that day comes, exactly.
That was it for the polls. I have one little tidbit of news I found out about just today.
Okay.
As we speak, we're recording on a Wednesday, which is unusual for us. And currently, as we speak, Emily Hampshire is participating in Celebrity Jeopardy right now.
Oh.
I have Joe recording it. So they, of course, play for charity, and she's playing for GLAAD.
Uh-huh.
So,
awesome.
I forget. She's playing against Mark Duplass, who is a big producer, writer, actor. Mm-hmm. I read his book that he wrote with his brother last year called Like Brothers. Very good book. Interesting guys. And then the other gentleman she's playing against, is I can't remember his name, but he's the Indian actor who stars on Ghost. Have you ever watched that show?
I have not.
I've seen only commercials, but I know who he is just by seeing him. I can't remember his name. So.
Okay.
Hopefully she's winning some money for her charity.
Yeah, we'll have to post something about that on the socials if they have like highlight clips or something.
I'm going to watch it back when we're done here. So
definitely. Another thing I think we should mention this week, historic, well, not historic, but important news is the writer's strike.
Yeah, the writer's strike seems like it has ended.
Yeah,
for the most part.
All the dots.
Is everything signed and sealed? Yeah.
All the dots have been eyed and the crosses have been teed. But
that was a long time.
That was a long time.
And then actors on board now, the actors
situated.
The SAG.
Well, good. So that is good news because we're missing all of our shows. Sounds like the late night shows are like coming back next week. So they are ready to get their staff back in action.
Yeah. And think of all the, you know, people don't forget all the other people it affects. Like everyone that works on those shows is, what have they been doing this entire time?
Well,
you know?
Did you see that the main late night host guys they've been doing a podcast together and the proceeds have all been going to pay their staff.
Oh, good. I haven't seen that.
Interim.
That's good.
So
that's very good.
They had like their final episode and they posted a thing about it today, how they're all excited to get back to work on Monday. So
well, good.
It was nice that they could kind of get creative and still try to support their team during this time.
Good. So last but not least, what wedding updates do you have for us this week, Stephanie?
Wedding updates. I've got actually quite a few. I've been busy this week.
You sent me some craft pictures.
I've been
so
crafting.
I have definitely seen
I've been
that.
A crafting
okay.
bitch, and it's been very good for my
crafty
mental health.
Bitch. Good.
I made all my wedding flowers in the past week.
You made the solo wood flowers?
I made the solo wood flowers. Yeah. So I am taking a alternative approach to flowers. My wedding is 220 days away. I realize that, but I am opting for not the traditional artificial flowers, but flowers that are actually made out of wood. And I was able to like dye them specific colors for our palette and then arrange them all. So I've made almost like over a dozen things between like boutonnieres and corsages and bouquets and things. And it's been so fun. I've really enjoyed myself. But now I'm a little sad because
I'm
like,
what am I
going to
do for the next 200 days?
I need to move on to something else. But like, it was such a great activity this past week and it was kind of rainy. So it's just nice to like sit inside and make flower things. And I got a little box. So now I'm like sad. I have to like pack them away for like 8 months. But I'm like, I can always like take a peek at them because it's like helping
just refresh your memory.
My endorphins. Like it really gives me a boost just to look at them. So that was a big project. This week's episode, we're talking about wedding suit shopping. And okay. We've kind of been trying to figure out maybe things Sushant is going to wear. Like, do we want to do the traditional rental? Do we want to just have him buy a suit? I don't know. I also need to like figure out my wedding dress situation, which I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast yet, but I will be making my wedding dress.
I assumed you were going to be making it, but I didn't know that was 100% set.
I do have like fabrics. I just don't have a design finalized yet.
I remember you bought some fabric ages ago. Like shortly, it was like very soon after you guys started dating. I mean, I guess it was pretty soon.
We were already living together.
Oh, it was after you were living together?
Okay. Oh, it was. Yeah.
Okay. I just remember being like, damn, she moved quick.
I bought fabric because I had like a specific idea for fabric I wanted. And then I saw the fabric and it was like a good deal. And I was like,
And it was one
that like I knew it wouldn't be restocked. So I'm like, I'm just going to get it. So I have it. And it's been sitting for like a year. Well, now I'm ready to do something with it.
All right. I stand corrected then. It wasn't that soon.
So, like after our second date.
Hey, when you know, you know.
When you know, you know. Yeah. So I do have some wardrobe things to figure out, but that will take. I'm going to be a little bit behind David and Patrick on that one. I'm not able to keep.
Yeah, that's quick.
Yeah. We also got Sushant's ring. It just came today. So that's also exciting.
He gets some bling to wear then.
He gets some bling
pretty soon.
We actually got it from a jeweler that's based in Brooklyn. And when we were in New York back in March, we went to their store because we'd been looking at it online and we were able to go in and to try it out in person and we liked it. And so I basically said, okay, we've got it picked out, but
order it when you order it.
We're not ordering it until I have my ring.
until we're engaged.
So literally we got engaged and then I think that following week we got home and we ordered his ring. So
anyway, we got Joe's ring at JCPenney at a mall outside of Boston when we were visiting my friend Morgan one time when she lived
that
there.
That works.
We just needed it and we didn't want anything super fancy and didn't want anything that matched mine and didn't have a lot of money. And we just, this one looks good. And that's what we did. We just grabbed it and left.
Yeah, that works.
Morgan was shocked. She said, I can't believe you just bought a wedding ring. I'm like, yeah, it's a JCPenney ring. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's held up well over the years.
We did pick out my wedding band too. We haven't ordered it yet.
Oh, good.
We got that.
Does it go with your ring?
It does.
Does it? Okay.
It's not matchy-matchy, but it's complimentary.
Okay, good.
So
good.
Anyway.
Moving right along.
Those are my wedding updates for the week, folks. Moving right along.
I love this. We're going to have lots to update every week. I'm good. I'm glad for this.
Our new segment. All right, Katie.
Hopefully everyone loves it.
Hopefully. If you don't, you can just fast
forward. Skip the intro.
Yeah. Well, let's get into our episode intro, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
This week's episode is called We Must Keep the Carriage in Wake of the Mare, aka Maid of Honor. And we start with a cold open. I feel like Alexis is like really leaning into her Alexisisms this season, but specifically this episode
too.
It's really exaggerated because she comes in to Johnny and Moira's room. The biggest bangle earrings I've ever seen.
These earrings physically hurt my ears to look at.
How are her ears not ripping? And I have detached earlobes, so like they'd be sagging low, you know?
Yes. Yes. Mine would just hurt.
Yeah, they look painful, but she's rocking them. She's got these big earrings, big bracelets, comes in to let Johnny and Moira know that she just sent them the trailer. The trailer for the Crows movie is out. Or it's not out yet, but they got a link to the preview before.
Yes, she got the memo. It's here.
It goes live. And so they're ecstatic. Moira can't believe it. She grabs a computer, says this is their siren call, that the cinematic rapture, which is going to come with this movie, basically really amping it up.
Draw the curtains.
Create this cinematic experience. Calls David over. But then she like quickly changes her mind and is like, wait, maybe I should like, do I need to do this in private? Have a moment to myself. But David's
it's a fair question.
You already called me over. I'm not going back in the other room. So she kind of like gets down on her knees and holds the kids' hands, complains that the room is too dark, even after she just told Johnny to close the blinds. And it's like she needs this emotional support. They press play and it starts with an ad, of course, which we're used to. But Moira doesn't realize what that is. She's like, is this part of the movie?
I don't remember any of this.
And they're like, you just have to skip through the ad to get to the trailer. And so it starts and it's all cinematic and you know, moody, but then it just starts to pause and buffer right away, which is so annoying. We've all been there.
Yeah.
We're not there as much anymore as we used to.
I feel like it's pretty old school, right? Like
it is a little old school. And Alexis even hassles Johnny. Like, I told you, you need to upgrade the Wi-Fi. Moira, meanwhile, is walking around like it's a cell phone trying to get better reception, which I don't think is going to help very much. And she sits down and says, just start over. Because, you know, sometimes the buffering line will like progress along and then you can just wait a little bit. And
you'll
then
never
watch it
catch
through.
Up. You don't have to buffer it again.
Exactly. But she goes to restart it. And of course, it starts back with the ad.
Just David like, doesn't. No, David does not have time.
He
for
says this is excruciating. And Johnny's like, just call me when it's ready. Like, they don't have patience for this anymore, which is hilarious. Because remember when we all had to have patience for dial-up?
And dial-up. Internet was so slow, you guys.
Y'all would have been in your mind.
You have no idea. No idea.
It was terrible. We're so impatient nowadays. It's just bonkers.
It's kind of ruined it. I mean, it's all everything instant gratification that we have now has ruined.
Well, every year at work, without fail, like the first week of the semester, the servers just freak out the first day of fall classes when everybody loads back onto campus and it's the system is so bogged down with users that it's not like prepared for.
It was not ready to come back from summer break.
And we're all like huffing and puffing and losing our mind because nothing is working on the internet. And it's literally like, well, I guess I should just go home. Like you literally feel like you can't do anything.
I do.
With slow
when the internet.
Internet
goes out at our work, it's like, do we go home now? You can't do anything. It's like, so you can't even use our phones. Back in the day, you could use the phone when it was plugged into the wall and it was a separate device.
Exactly.
Strange world we live in.
Strange. I don't think it even required electricity. It was just the...
No, I think it just came through the phone line. Yeah.
Crazy.
It is crazy. We want to hear something else crazy?
Yeah.
For the longest time, my grandparents shared a line with my aunt who lived down the road. They called it a party line.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they would have to wait. If my aunt was on the phone, they would have to wait.
Yeah.
Like they would pick up the phone to call us and she'd be like, oh, I'm on the phone with so-and-so. Try in a minute.
I remember my grandma talking about party lines and like, I don't know if your ring was slightly different than the other people on your line. Like it had like a,
I don't know.
Like
a
ringtone kind of.
There had to be some way to know if someone was calling for you.
But yeah, man, those were
phones. Old school.
Phones, man.
The Middle Ages. Phones. Medieval times.
Oh, man. So I think tonight we've got three storylines. I think let's start with Johnny. He's kind of got a funny one-off story. So remember last week, the Shits made their big announcement that they bought that new motel.
Yes.
And they're going to go in on the business with them all. And so the deed has been signed and it's now under Shit ownership. And Johnny and Roland have the keys and are checking out all these rooms at a very similar looking motel, kind of same dated vibe, maybe not quite as like mid-century looking, but Johnny is impressed. They're checking out the rooms that, you know, the conditions aren't as bad as he thought because they kind of made this deal
sight unseen.
They arrived during a funeral, so they didn't really get to get a full tour.
They saw the lobby.
A full tour that we saw. Yeah, they did see the lobby. And Roland's like, well, Johnny, I don't throw my money at lemons like you do with your automobiles.
They've only had good luck with the car.
Kind of dogs him about that purchase. Yeah. And then they're checking out this room and Roland notices that the maid forgot to take her tip. And her tip is, according to him, a giant brown paper bag full of cash. He says that's kind of generous considering she didn't clean up all the garbage in here or this loaded gun he finds.
And he points at Johnny.
Literally, like, swings it at Johnny. Johnny has to, like, swerve it out of the way, tells him to put it down. And Johnny clearly is putting two and two together that there was
somebody
in this room, either
someone's
squatting here or who knows. But Roland, the ever naive in this duo, thinks that this is just, like, a housewarming gift from Betty and Benny. First of all, Benny is dead.
Why would Betty leave a bag of cash and a gun?
Let them inherit this bag of money and a gun.
Good luck. Yeah.
And says, well, if we're splitting these gifts, I call the bag of money.
I mean, depending on how much money's in there and what kind of gun it is, the gun could be the better deal if you want to sell it.
I suppose. Yeah. Johnny is seeing right through this. He's like, no, the person who left these things here is definitely coming back for it. And even notices like a current newspaper, mm-hmm. a cigarette, a coffee hot that is still coffee. Hot. Yep. Roland says that's just global warming and makes some comment about like, why do I feel like you're one of those people who doesn't
believe non-believers.
And Johnny is like, we need to take these things to the police. But Roland says, I don't know. That doesn't sound like good business practice. Do we really want our first guest having to stay in the middle of a crime scene? Which is kind of like a weird moment of clarity for Roland.
It is, but you're not having guests next week. You know?
You've got
you've got some work to do.
Exactly. So instead, he suggests that they stake out the place to see if this guy or girl comes back to get their stuff. And if they do, they'll wait till they leave and change the locks, which, okay, that kind of makes sense.
That makes sense. But then you have some crazy person coming back to where they thought they were staying and their locks are changed and they go apeshit crazy on you.
Yeah, like, that is.
This is possible. The most ridiculous option to handle this situation I could ever consider.
Totally.
Like, just. All the authorities. That's my instinct in this
Johnny
situation.
Johnny kind of concedes to Roland, says, we'll give it a day. We'll stake it out for a day, which like that's going to be a waste of your day, basically, if that's what you're going
to
do.
What else do they have to do?
But if this guy or gal doesn't come back, they'll go to the authorities or something.
Yep.
So next we see them mid-stakeout, not so inconspicuous. They're just in the parking lot in Roland's truck. Yep. And there's like barely any other cars there.
There's another car there.
There is another car.
Like, who are the other cars if there is another car?
That is a good question. Maybe like a clean person.
This is so strange.
It is weird.
This whole situation.
Roland is tapping into the vending machines, which have not been stocked in a while. Although they do have one bag of Poly Puffs made with real polyester? Polymers. A drink time orange soda made with 99% real drink. Katie.
Real drink. Roland loves vending machines.
He really does.
Remember in the hospital, he wouldn't stop visiting the vending machine when Johnny was having his indigestion.
Yeah, totally. Do you go for vending machines in like sometimes? Like, would you go to a motel vending machine?
I think at a motel would be the most logical place I would use a vending machine. Once in a great while on a road trip, we'll get one at a rest stop or something. Right. But I think hotel vending machines are probably where I visit them the most.
Yeah.
I'm very similar in my purchases as a gas station snack. It's like Gardetto's or Muddy Buddies or something like that out of a vending machine.
I think my last vending machine purchase was we were leaving Mackinac Island and there was a really long line for the ferry. And we both wanted just like a beverage because we just biked the island and the line for every like little counter kiosk place was super long. So I literally just found a vending machine and got like whatever bottled water.
$7 bottle of water.
$7. Yep.
Yes.
So Roland's chowing down on vending machine snacks and Johnny is like, you need to take this more seriously. And just then a car pulls up, this kind of old beater looking sedan. Roland ducks like under the steering wheel. And
Johnny just covers his face.
Shields his face.
Drawing
more attention to himself. And this kind of shady looking guy, greaseball guy, gets out of the car.
In a trench coat.
Looks around kind of suspiciously and then goes into the room where they found the money and the gun. And Roland has to note, it was a man after all. Your sexist instincts were right as usual. Johnny's hoping he's just going to go in and take his stuff and leave. But no, next we see he's come out. He took off his jacket. He's headed to the vending machine.
Which might now be empty.
He took the last thing of, what were they? The puffs.
The Poly Puffs.
That reminds me of Polly Pocket, kind of.
Mm.
And, Johnny's like, we can't allow squatters. We need to confront this guy and we need to do it as a united front together. So they muster up the courage to approach the squatter's door and they're kind of trying to talk through their plan before they knock on the door. Johnny still thinks the police should probably be doing this instead of them, which I think is fair. This guy has a gun.
This guy has a gun.
You know, Roland says they'll be fine. There's two of them and just one of him. But then at the very last second does mention the gun as he's knocking and the door is
well,
opening.
It's too late now.
Johnny tries to be cordial off of this guy, a handshake, but he's just suspicious. Like, who are these two guys? And doesn't really respond. It's kind of this like awkward exchange as they're describing that they're the new owners and they're just kind of wondering what he's doing here. And
I'm a long-term tenant. He's got this dirty New York. I'm a long-term tenant. Betty said she'd bake it into the contract.
And they don't know what he's talking about. And because they kind of mentioned like, are you a squatter? And he's like, I'm not a squatter. Like you said, I'm a long-term tenant. And Johnny's like, oh, well, Roland, did you see that in the contract? And Roland just looks at him. That's like
pages.
25 pages long. No, he didn't read it.
That's what lawyers are for.
That's what lawyers are for. And then this guy chimes in. We never find out his name. And he's like, well, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer. And I can assure you it's there.
Says he's living here or like hunkered down here because he puts away some real rotten guys. And then Roland tries to say, or women. Girls. No, never women.
Never women.
Guys. And so he tries to keep a low profile. It's safer for him, which... I mean,
the most unbelievable story they wrote into the show.
When I think about what kind of lawyer is living like that, it reminds me of someone who used to be the mayor of New York. And that's the kind of lawyer.
Same accent.
Yeah, same accent. Totally. So it still seems super sketch. And he says, I always used to pay in cash, keep a low profile. Roland then mentions, oh, that's why you have the big bag of cash in there. Like, basically,
now he knows they've been in their room.
Saying we've been in their room. Also mentions the gun, which really sets this guy off. And Johnny's trying to apologize.
I love how Johnny tries to throw Roland under the bus here, too, though, because Roland threw him right under the bus as soon as the door opened.
Well, Johnny said,
I didn't know about the money. I didn't know about it. Like, screw you, Roland.
Self-preservation. I mean, the guy still has a gun. I don't blame Johnny one bit. Johnny tries to, like, you know, redeem them a little bit, gives him his business card and is like, you know, happy to set up the same cash payments as you had with Betty and Benny. But the guy just closes the door and I'm like, yeah, these these goons, I'm not going to deal with them today. So they definitely had a rough start to their first tenant experience at the new property, but hopefully it goes up from here.
It's just annoying, too, when they walk away that Roland's like, see, I was right. Tell me I did a good job. Well, good job what? Not getting yourselves killed today?
Exactly. I think this is going to set like the tone for their working relationship henceforth. But it keeps things interesting, if anything.
Short and sweet on that storyline.
Very short and sweet. Yeah, I think since we did a little bit of intro, we'll take a quick break, throw it to our sponsor. And when we come back, we will check in with Moira. We'll do Moira next.
Ta-ka.
We all know that when it comes to life's big moments, we all want to look our best so we can feel our best. Whether you're planning to propose to your girlfriend at senior prom, trying to match the aesthetic of your luxury dream wedding, or simply need to look extra dapper for your skanky sister's communion, Tuxedo Tailors is there to help suit you up. Located in the quaint hamlet of Elm Glen, Tuxedo Tailors offers a wide rainbow of suiting styles and colors, so there really is something for everyone. Whether your vibe is that of a bold magician, a classic James Bond, or anywhere in between, Tuxedo Tailors will shimmy you into the suit that's right for you. Don't forget to mention this podcast for a free upgrade to elastic waistband trousers so you can enjoy as many sloppy Jocelyns and cheese balls as you'd like at your reception. Thanks again to our sponsor, Tuxedo Tailors, where you'll say I do to a more dapper you.
And we are back. Thank you to our sponsor, Tuxedo Tailors, for sponsoring this episode all the way from Elm Glen. Thank you.
Yes, you know how, Steph, I've always told you how Joe is just dying to do jury duty.
Yeah.
The one time he got the call and had to show up, he went to Tuxedo Tailor for his wardrobe for the day.
They dressed him up
real nice, and he got there. And 10 minutes later, everyone that was scheduled that day took a plea deal, so all the jurors got sent home.
Oh, my gosh.
Joe's dreams were crushed.
Why am I picturing him either as James Bond or Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber? And there's no gray area.
Well, he actually went with a baby blue classic suit, tuxedo with tails and the ruffly shirt.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you again, Tuxedo Tailors, for sponsoring us.
Yes.
Moira
now.
I think we'll
see what
move over to Moira. So... Okay. We started to see the Crows trailer. Where we find her next, she is at Town Hall. It looks like it's supposed to be Jazzagel's practice.
Yeah.
But she has infiltrated and taken over with a now not private screening of a Jazzagel screening of the trailer.
Yeah, I hope this was the public version of the trailer public version. And not the show this to anyone until it's out version. Yeah,
that's a great question. They must have better Wi-Fi at Town Hall because it's not buffering anymore. She's got the gals all gathered around. We get some more insight to the plot of this film. It's been what, like a season and a half since she, or it was the beginning of season five.
Episode one of season five. Yep.
So we got a little bit of a glimpse there. It definitely is giving like knockoff of the Birds.
Yes. Definitely.
That's not an eclipse, Nathaniel. Those are birds. And then it's like,
I love to they show the shot several times, the red screen with the little test tube injection thing,
cells on the petri dish,
like we're cloning things and doing all genetically modified crows.
Totally. It's definitely it's a vibe, that's for sure. So the trailer ends and everyone kind of claps for Moira, but Jocelyn is just kind of there looking a little unsure and uncomfortable. Twyla is like ultimate fangirl, ever impressed by everything Moira says. And it's like, was that really you the whole time? And apparently, yes, thanks to special effects, it was.
Mm. Even Ronnie was impressed.
Yeah, she's like, some of the plot points were a little confusing, but it definitely looked better than you made it sound like it would, or says something like that. And I was like, well, we could rewatch it if you like. And Jocelyn quickly cuts her off and says, I think three times is the sweet spot.
She has
run. And then suggests that they get back to practice. Meanwhile, Twyla is still going on and on. Do you think it'll be nominated for an Oscar? We must keep the carriage in Wake of the Mare, which is our title. She says maybe a Golden Globe, but let's not envisage. What is that the word? Envisage. Blah, blah. Let's not fantasize about that, basically. And Moira notices Jocelyn kind of standing there, kind of awkward, quiet, not really chiming in, and really puts her on the spot. And it's like, ladies, Jocelyn hasn't had a chance to give her feedback.
Hasn't given her opinion yet. I love what she says.
The adulation has been unanimous thus far, she says. Jocelyn is like grasping for straws here. You can tell like she's not feeling it or something's off. She manages to spit out, it looked like a real movie. And all that makes me think of, do you remember, I think it was like a year ago, this movie that came out that had this like big like cast member drama. It was called Don't Worry Darling with Florence Pugh and Chris Pine, Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles.
Yeah, I vaguely remember
this. It was like taking over the internet.
Yeah.
It was weird because there was like all this drama, and Harry Styles, bless him, was not a good actor in this movie. And he's doing press and he's sitting with Chris Pine, and the interview is asking him to like describe this movie's experience or what it's like. And all Harry Styles can say is like, it just felt like a movie. You know, it felt like we were making a movie. Like a real movie.
You were like, making
bro,
a movie.
That's literally what was happening, bro. It just reminded me of that with
Jocelyn.
That's
funny.
It looked like a real movie. And Moira kind of laughs like, whoa, we'll put that on the sizzle reel. Great quote.
Thanks for the compliment.
And keeps kind of like, you know.
What else did you think?
Nudging her to say more. And
it's just like that day she said, what would you all say if it were at my funeral or if I had passed away?
Give me your obituary on the spot. And she's like, it was neat, real neat. And that kind of puts Moira off. And she's startled that Jocelyn doesn't have an equally positive review compared to everyone else. Jocelyn really like pivots away from this awkward conversation and says they get back to rehearsal. The crowd breaks up. But Twyla is still fangirling, says, were the crows nice? Because my uncle had a parrot, but he always kept telling me to take my bra off, which is more insight into Twyla's life growing up and her family dynamics. So we get to practice. Also, I haven't acknowledged the headpiece that Moira was wearing.
Oh, yes.
So if you remember kind of the feathers that she wore to Carl's funeral, they have doubled and multiplied coming off both sides of her head.
The like best.
Viking horns made of feathers is the only way I could describe it. It's very, it's apropos, as we've said a couple
apropos
weeks for the trailer. Next, we see Moira showing up unannounced at Jocelyn's house. Poor Jocelyn in the middle of grading papers and feeding baby Roland.
We see the bebe.
We see the bebe. We have not seen the bebe
since Moira babysat for him. Babysat for him. And this is probably the last time we will see him, I think.
I think so, yeah.
The shits do have a baby still,
oh, no,
guys.
The baby does show up at the very end of the season.
Does he really?
I think one more time. Yeah.
I can remember that.
Baby Roland. So she shows up and Jocelyn's like, or says something about, you know, just stopping in, clearly not noticing how busy she is.
Jocelyn, I have a baby and a job.
Feeding my baby, grading book reports. And Moira says, tell me about it. You don't relate to any of those things.
All I do is go to Jazzy Gals practice.
Exactly. And watch my trailer a million times. Moira said she stopped by because it seemed like Jocelyn had something to say that she didn't get to get off her chest during rehearsal.
She was holding back, maybe.
Holding back, maybe. Really prodding for more, like, better reviews and compliments. And Jocelyn's just like, no, I'm fine. I said everything I needed to. And that just breaks Moira down. And she's just like, why do you hate my movie? Like,
she can't handle the fact that someone might not like
She's being so sensitive about it. And you're like, you've basically deemed it this year's John Carter, which I never saw that movie, but
I never
is
did.
It bad?
I never saw it either, but I remember the reviews were terrible for it. Yes.
Who's in that movie? Is that like a Keanu Reeves movie or something?
It's something Disney made about some Egyptian guy or something. I don't know. Let me Google it really quick here. John Carter.
Oh, I think I'm thinking of John Wick.
Yeah, that is Keanu Reeves. Those are actually pretty good. The John Wick. Let's see. John Carter. Oh, Civil War veteran John Carter mysteriously wakes on the surface of Mars. Already sounds great.
That sounds like a cult classic.
And now we know why. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's all I need to know about that movie.
Okay, yeah, enough. That's enough. Sounds neat. Sounds like a real movie. And Moira says, Jocelyn's, you know, cold look alone sent a wet gust of raspberries right to her face, basically. And
Jocelyn is like, why does my opinion matter so much to you?
Seriously. She's like, honestly, it's nothing personal. I just don't like horror movies, which is fair.
Yeah, and I agree.
Tells a story about how her ex-boyfriend took her to a Mike Myer movie and she just never got over it, which I get that.
Not the love guru. wrong Michael Myers, Moira. Yeah.
Jocelyn just can't believe that Moira is really, you know, balancing her feelings on whether or not Jocelyn approves of this movie. And Moira goes, oh, please, don't be giddy. But then turns around as she goes to leave and says, but just know, an actress is only as happy as her unhappiest audience. Yep. And then blows a little kiss at baby Roland Moira Jr. and leaves. Clearly, Moira is sensitive and wants validation and isn't getting it from Jocelyn. So we next find her back in the hotel lobby. I guess she's in charge of the hotel right now because everyone else is gone.
Yeah, everyone's gone.
And she's watching the trailer again by herself, kind of murmuring as she's watching it. And Jocelyn comes in.
Did you see what she commented about it? No. Oh, and that egg lay looked very grounded. Like she laid it.
I didn't know
she had to lay an egg in the preview.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
That was a closed captioning joy right there.
Farmer girl Katie, have you ever seen a chicken lay an egg?
Only on TikToks. It's the weirdest looking thing.
What is your TikTok like?
Weird animal humor. Inappropriate animal humor.
I have seen a chicken lay an egg once and I screamed when it happened.
No, I'm actually surprised that I haven't because we did have chickens for a short time.
My mom
but I was
had
super
chickens
young.
For a period and they bought adult chickens And when they arrived and they were getting settled in, my mom made this whole chicken coop for them. This wasn't that long ago. The chicken, I think, was so stressed by her new environment that she just shot out an egg. And I saw it happen and I screamed and it just plopped out. And then we probably ate it. So yeah, it was crazy.
And then it was my daily cholesterol source.
Exactly. So Jocelyn clearly felt bad about how Moira left and could tell that she had hurt feelings and is sensitive. So ever the fairy godmother, Jocelyn comes in ready to make her feel a little bit better about this movie. Says, you know, she's sorry she didn't jump on the bandwagon sooner.
I love what she says here.
Again, good advice. Didn't want Moira to get her hopes up in case it doesn't play out the way she wants it to, because that's happened before. We know that with a lot of things.
Moira says, I don't need coddling. No, you don't. You just need to live in a closet for a week.
Exactly. And like, you need
nice of Jocelyn.
You don't need coddling, but you do need affirmations.
Like, that's thoughtful of Jocelyn. It is. Like, I wanted to be someone who was realistic for you so that when things didn't work out, we could just absorb it together.
Yes. Like, kind of keep her grounded a little bit.
Yes.
But now that it's clear how important Jocelyn's opinion is to Moira, she has returned prepared with a better review of the trailer.
A dazzling, well-written review.
She grabs her mead composition notebook that she probably stole from a student.
My composition book.
And, She goes off on this raving review that sounds like an 11th grader's book report, talking about from the very first syllable, you can feel the hair on your arm standing at a frightened attention. And yes, there will be blood and horror and you will be lured, blah, blah. It's just so elaborate.
Something your own transfiguration.
It's like she's trying to speak in Moira talk. Kind of.
Yeah, she used Foyle's Flavory and a Webster's thesaurus for this.
Exactly.
Review.
The library's thesaurus from 1985. And so as she's reading this review, Moira's face, her eyes just get wide. She can't believe this raving review. It's just like, who wrote that? And Jocelyn, very proud, says that she did.
I did.
But then Moira, of course, has to go on. I was hoping for more specific details about my own performance.
Nothing about me and my performance. Well, it's
so
just
she tries to improvise, talking about how the feathers were very nice and lifelike. Turns out they were real, 1,200 of them.
Hand sewn.
And says that the crows welcomed her as one of their own. And one even tried to mate, which is maybe how that egg was laid.
Weird.
And suggest that they watch the trailer again. She's like me listening to our own podcast episodes.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it.
Maybe I've got a little bit of Moira narcissism. I just enjoy our banter.
It's fun. I will say, like, I obviously listen to edit it and I laugh a lot. And I think we're funny. If you don't, tough luck. But I'm done when I'm done. Yeah. Like, well, I'm like, that's enough.
You're having to edit it and go through the nitty gritty and like
and cut out all the ums.
Yeah, that's you're doing the Lord's work.
We're not this fluent. I do keep some to make it realistic.
Just to make it natural. Yeah, but. Yeah. These episodes would be 2 hours long if you left them all in. So that's kind of where we end with Moira and Jocelyn. They're back to being, you know, on good terms, and Jocelyn validated Moira, which I think was the biggest part of all. And it also lets us know that this movie is moving full speed ahead.
Yep.
Some sort of Interflix premiere. So stay tuned for that. Our last storyline of the episode is David and Alexis and Patrick and Stevie.
Mm-hmm,
the kids are going suit shopping. So we start, this was back to after that morning where the family gathered in to watch the trailer that never ended up playing out. But David finds Alexis on her bed looking through his wedding dream book.
Do you have a wedding dream book, Stephanie?
That was my question for you, because you got married really before Pinterest was a thing.
Yes, so I did.
I think that has kind of like the actual book, unless you started making one from when you were like, a child.
And I didn't have any kind of dream book like that. No.
Sounds like David did start making this, because some of the references that are coming up make me think that he started this book a long time ago. But no, I don't have a book, but I do have, I tried to make a Pinterest.
A binder.
I'm not super into Pinterest right now. I'm actually using an app. And then I just have
That's good.
I just have a album of screenshots in my phone for wedding stuff.
That's fun that there's an app.
A folder on my computer. But yeah, I use an app called Zola. There's other ones called like Knot and Wedding Wire. You know about Wedding Wire.
Yes, yes, of course.
You were award-winning videographers on Wedding Wire. Just like the Hospice, you had to buy your own award.
I had to buy my own award.
But yeah, I use an app, and it's nice to kind of keep everything digital.
Yeah, I definitely am jealous of Pinterest being around now. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I never found it super intuitive with like how it takes you to links of things and like. I don't know. I like
you're not always
stuff.
Getting, you're getting just pictures, but you're not always getting the information you need.
Exactly. So it's kind of hit or miss for me. I usually just go straight to a Google search if I'm being honest, but David is kind of bothered and offended that she found this book and he wants to know where she got it. And apparently she was looking for one of her giant earrings under his pillow, and that's where she found the book. So he's sleeping with this book.
He's dreaming about it.
But she does compliment him about how he has apparently successfully manifested the wedding of his dreams. And she's really shocked, which she's like, shocked? No, like impressed that he managed to do it, which must mean that some of these wedding details are coming together in a way that reflects the book he made. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Because they are on a budget. So,
and tastes certainly have changed, right?
Certainly.
Like, if you start this when you're that young.
Well, we're about to find out because... You know, well, she also has to mention, like, of all the people on this earth, you were able to find your person. Like, that's also kind of a backhanded compliment, okay. Alexis, but okay. And apparently, in his wedding dream book, he had noted that he wanted to marry either J.C. Chazes or Jenny Elfman. You know J.C. Chazes.
Do I?
From NSYNC. And Katie, they're like apparently getting back together.
I did. Yeah, I knew that.
Because they just did a Hot Ones episode, which I'm like, Justin Timberlake, what are you doing?
Lance Bass, JT, and
Joey Gladstone.
Joey, is that the one?
Joey, JC, and then...
Fatone, Joey Fatone.
Oh, Gladstone, that's like the Flintstones, I think it was.
No, Joey Gladstone's from Full House. Cut it out.
You're right. Fatone. And then Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, see, I didn't know JC or Chris.
Yeah, well, I had to Google. I thought JC was in Backstreet Boys, but no, he wasn't.
Oh, and who's the other person he was maybe going to marry?
Jenny Elfman. Who is Dharma from Dharma and Greg. You remember that show?
Oh, yeah, the blonde girl?
So yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, he definitely started this book like in the 90s when those people were relevant.
Yeah.
So she also mentions that there was a page in there, or a sketch of Alexis's proposed wedding dress, or not wedding dress, maid of honor dress. And it was going to be Keira Knightley's green dress from Atonement. Have you seen Atonement?
No.
It's a sad ass movie, but there's this iconic green backless silky number that she wears. It's very Alexis. Let's just put it that
way.
Is
it? I'm looking it up right now. Yes, it's pretty.
Very slinky.
It reminds me of the Kate Winslet dress from How to Meet a Guy in 10 Days, only in green, not yellow.
Totally. Yes. I see that. So when she mentions that, though, David kind of makes a little face and he's just like, I haven't really gotten to that detail yet.
That's quite the assumption.
She's like, well, I'm going to be here for a month, so you better put me to work. And he's looking kind of angsty. Just then Patrick comes in and Alexis calls him David's very own J.C. Chazes. Whatever his name is. J.C. Patrick doesn't know who that is, though. And David's like, you should probably just head out. You're right. Alexis calls Patrick her favorite groom and David. They're going to go out to try on suits for Patrick. And that gets a rise out of Alexis. She's like, I'll just come along. Grabs her purse.
She's now invited herself to two wedding events here.
She totally has. And she mentions again, well, as maid of honor, I should be coming. And that gets a reaction from Patrick. which Alexis notices, and David's like, yeah, we basically has to tell her, like, we may have asked somebody else. And she's like, if you asked Ronnie to be your maid of honor, I swear to God. But no, they thought
obviously she was, who else did he ask?
Obviously it's Stevie. But even when she says that, she's like, do you mean Stevie Nicks? And at first I thought that was like a slight to Stevie, but it was more like she can't believe Stevie would be willing to do that for David.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it comes across. But David says, we thought you were going to be in the Galapagos for 6 months and you wouldn't be here. And I need somebody who can be on hand to help. So, like,
yeah,
sorry for thinking like realistically, basically.
So speaking of being on hand to help.
Yeah.
You're doing all your wedding shit now. What's there going to be to help with?
I think what I am hoping to have help with, because that is a chronic personality trait of mine, is I am terrible for asking for help in all situations. Like, I could, like, this dates back to my childhood, because I was in a wave pool as a kid, like 95% drowning. And the lifeguard was
no,
like,
no, I don't need help.
Are you okay? And I was like, I'm good. She had to jump in and save me. So I'm very bad at asking for help. But I'm putting it out here now, Katie. I will need help on the day of, like, in the days leading up to it, like, I don't want to have to be the master of ceremonies at my own wedding, basically, but I will get all the details sorted out.
And also, we should note, too, you're not having a typical wedding party or maid of honor or somebody that's going to be assigned to do stuff for you.
I am not. No, we're not doing traditional wedding parties. That's not really a thing in Indian weddings. And we thought about maybe doing it, but I don't know. It just felt like, at this point, the people we would ask, most of them are married and a lot of them have kids. And like, we want our guests to be able to enjoy themselves. And it is a lot of work, as you know, to be in a wedding. And so we're finding other ways to like honor those people, if that makes sense. But what we felt like would be more fun and easy and less stressful is we're just having a bunch of kids in the wedding, like all my nieces and nephews. It'll be cute and easy and low stress. And then, it'll just.
And so fun for them.
It'll be so like, fun for them.
Because otherwise they wouldn't have as big of a role.
They wouldn't. And so.
Because there are so many of them.
There's so many of them. Oh, my gosh. And I've had fun with like leading up to that. Because you know how nowadays like people make like these little, they call them like proposal boxes.
Will to,
like,
you ask be my to be. Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Which I would feel silly doing that for adults. But for kids, it feels totally fun and doable.
Yeah.
So I've like made them all little boxes. And I've already talked to their parents and everyone's like on board for this plan. But the kids don't know yet. So we're going to give them all these boxes when we see them at Thanksgiving. And it's going to be so cute. And I've gotten them like little things for the wedding and then also just like little gifts and cute things. So
I did make like
little kid proposal boxes. That's what
day
we're
of
doing.
We'll all be organizing shit for you.
Yes.
And of course the bachelorette party.
I mean,
there's got to be a bachelorette
party. My sister-in-laws are already like in the works and they were already like, and Katie can come. I'm like, oh yeah, she'll jump on that shit.
And Jenny, I'll probably get to meet Jenny for the first time.
You guys
finally
can meet each other for the first time. So
I'm excited.
I guess that's happening in the background too. But I do not have a maid of honor, nor does Sushant have a best man, but we do have some pretty darn cute kids who will be.
They are cute. I can't wait to see them.
Yep. So, Alexis, though, she is like, well, I'm here now. You thought I was going to be gone, and that's fair, but I'm here now. So, like, I should get that.
Call it off.
That roll back that I have been promised for apparently decades based on this dream.
Their whole life, right?
And David kind of reluctantly agrees to let Alexis
you
take
can't
this
do
off
this,
Stevie's
right?
Hands. You can't do this. And
you can't
I
do this.
Through this whole episode, David is trying so hard to avoid the conflict, but he never really speaks up for what he wants. He just kind of lets it play out and floats in the background. You'll see as this unfolds, which kind of surprised me because I feel like when he asked Stevie, like that was probably like a sentimental thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe not, because Patrick said it was more of like a reluctant sure.
Oh, yeah. Stevie
when she answered.
Sure.
So
she clearly was surprised.
Yeah. I'm sure she was.
And David does insist he just doesn't want any hurt feelings on his, I mean, our special day. Then Alexa says, just imagine what I could do for your bachelor party, David. Speaking of bachelor and bachelorette parties. And then, like, gives a little wink to Patrick and talks about how Diplo still sends her nudes.
Yippee.
David has to tell Patrick that's a DJ as they head out following
If he wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't know who Diplo was. I only know who Diplo is because of the show.
Yeah. I mean, I know more about, I think, Duplo from, like, having kids that play with Legos because those are, like, the Legos for kids. But yeah, Diplo is a DJ.
He's an okay-looking guy. Nothing to write home about, I guess, now that I'm Googling him.
Don't ask me any of his songs. Next, we see Patrick's car outside of the headquarters of Larry Air, which looks kind of like any generic office building. And they're picking up Stevie, who looks like she belongs in the cast of Pan Am, as David later says.
Yes.
I never watched that show, but I know David says it was on for just a season. It looked interesting, but it just must have.
I thought
it never took off.
Yeah, it never took off.
But they're in the car, though, before Stevie literally runs out like she's running from a fire. And Alexis is strategizing how they should let Stevie off the hook, as she's phrasing it. She's like, I'll basically tell her I'm doing a favor, assumes that Stevie doesn't really want to do this anyways. But yeah, like I said, Stevie comes running out in her little suit, her little pillbox hat.
Yes.
Jumps into the car like she just robbed a bank, throws on her seatbelt and is like, drive please. David, of course, has to comment on her uniform, mentions that, you know, Pan Am was canceled after a season, right? Mm-hmm. And apparently she's dressed this way because they've already assigned her to a job. And that job is flight attendant, and she's only worked there for less than a week. And now they were going to
send her on a flight.
As she said, put her in charge of saving people's lives. How safe can this plane really be? And Alexa,
if I'm the one in charge. Totally.
She's like clearly overwhelmed. This company is not. We already knew it kind of wasn't legit, but I think
sketch.
Yeah, Stevie really has had an inside view now. She's like, I can't believe I was going to put my life in danger to do what? See the world?
To Hoboken.
They only fly to Hoboken, Windsor, and which we've been through Windsor now. And somewhere in South Dakota.
Somewhere in South Dakota. But you got to start. Isn't this like climbing the ladder? You got to get your experience on these smaller airlines and then move up to, you know, Emirates and Qatar.
I guess so. But like safety is a high priority, I think. Which is a good point because she mentions that there are 18 ongoing lawsuits with Larry Ayer, including one with Larry himself.
Of course.
She can't believe that she walked away from a job that she actually liked. She's kind of having a breakdown in the backseat of this car. And Alexis sees this as an opportunity to basically very heavy-handedly imply that, you know, you already seem so stressed and you don't want to have to deal with bridesmaid duties on top of all of this. But it actually backfires because Steve's like, no, this is like the one thing I feel like I'm actually looking forward to, believe it or not. I feel like it's something I can't
mess
up. This
is not how Alexis planned for this to go.
Not at all. And that gets a little look from David, who is being totally silent in the front seat, letting Alexis deal with this drama. Makes a face at him, like basically telling him to shut up as she like fusses with her earrings. That's what I mean. She's being like so Alexis-y.
Yeah. And she does it totally, like closes her eyes. See, I don't know if you saw this, but in the back seat, you can see Emily Hampshire is cracking up.
Oh,
cracking character behind David when they do that extra shot. It's real quick, but she's definitely laughing.
I believe that. Yeah. I'm sure there's so many takes with different versions of that little like body language reaction. So next we see the gang. They're in Elm Glen at a shop called Tuxedo Tailors for Patrick's suit fitting. Does that mean David's having like something custom made if it's only Patrick? I don't know. But Patrick's getting his suit. David's having Alexis and Stevie weigh in on tie options. Should we do bow ties or not? And they answer at the same time. Alexis says,
Of course.
And Stevie contradicts them, which David is clearly more in line with Alexis's thinking at this point. But to be fair, she already read his dream book. So she kind of knows what he's looking for.
And he didn't even really need to ask because he was already settled on bow ties
anyway.
He
totally didn't need to ask. And that's what I mean. Like, I don't need help making those decisions. Yeah. I just need like emotional support and like maybe a little bit of hard
bottle of champagne.
Yeah, a little bit. Stevie points out that, you know, it looked like he was looking for input, but maybe he already knows what he wants. And he's like, oh, no, I wasn't sure. But at the same time, I very much am. Like, he's trying to be coy, but he clearly knows
he's
what he wants.
He's got it.
He's got it figured out. He's had years. So Alexis drops a line about black ties and how she once hooked up with like 3 GQ men at a GQ party for Man of the Year. And then like gives Stevie a little tickle and licks her lips again, just being like super Alexis-y. And Stevie even admits like, I'm probably not the one to ask for fashion advice.
Uh-huh.
She's still wearing her Pan Am suit, by the way. She did take the hat off though. And Alexis finds this as an opportunity to ask Stevie what she was thinking for David's bachelor party. I don't know if she said this to like try to put more pressure on Stevie or just kind of make
her... I feel like she was doing it to just bring up another stressful issue to get thing. Stevie to back out on her own.
Right. And she's like, I figured we would just do whatever David wanted to do, which David chimes in. I'm super easy, but I did find a gorgeous... Oh God, what was this word? Ryokan.
I wrote it down.
Ryokan in Hakone, which is in Japan. I Googled Ryokan. It is a type of Japanese inn featuring like matted rooms, communal baths. It's apparently like one of the oldest types of hotels in the world. Very luxurious looking.
Another nod to Dan's love for Japan.
Yes.
Of course.
Exactly. So clearly he does have very specific ideas and very
sounding pricey, expensive, as
very
well.
Pricey ones at that. And yet he says he's flexible when he's really not.
Yeah.
Katie, what was your bachelorette party
Didn't experience? We talk about this already?
I don't remember.
I didn't have a bachelorette party really because I was living in New York. All my friends lived here. All the people involved with the wedding and all of my college friends. I was also the first person in our friend group to get married. We were all young. Nobody had any money to do anything crazy. My bachelorette party was, I think just a few days before my wedding or maybe the Saturday before. I don't know. Mm-hmm. My mom and at least one of my sisters and one of my cousins, my friend Morgan, who was in my wedding, and I think my friend Tara went to Longshot Lanes, which is the bowling alley bar in Bad Axe, and drank. And that was it. Like, it was just a place to go drinking. It wasn't very bad. Like, we didn't have any penis items. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any decorations. We just went and got drunk and Bad Axe.
The weekend we ended up going to Canada was supposed to be, you were supposed to go to a bachelorette party.
That was supposed to be a big bachelorette party.
That was going to be it. You were doing a lot of planning for that, too.
That was like a 4-day weekend.
You know the ins and outs of planning a bachelorette party, too.
Yeah, we were going to go, you know, we rented the house and we were going to go to Kings Island for a day and we were going to do a booze cruise on the Ohio River and had a yoga class booked and dinner reservations. Which, by the way, the yoga class thing was the only thing we could not get our money back for. And it was the cheapest item of all the things. So it wasn't a big deal. And she had said, well, I can just leave it on your name as a credit if you are ever in the area. And I said, look, like, do a community class or something because I'm never going to be there taking yoga. But then I thought, shoot, I should have told you.
You might come back.
Well, I should have told you because you're just 30 minutes away from where it was, too. Mm-hmm. You could have gone and used the $150 in yoga credit. That would have been a lot of yoga classes.
That would have been a lot of yoga.
It's too late now.
Yeah.
Hopefully she did something with it, like just a free drop-in class or something.
Right. Well, anyways, Alexis gives Stevie a hot tip after David explains his not so specific but very specific vision for his bachelor party. That it's usually best just to plan it and then tell the bride what you're doing.
What we're doing.
David does not love that hot tip, though.
I wouldn't either. Imagine planning the wedding and the bachelor party.
No, he doesn't like the tip that Stevie should just plan it and surprise him, which I actually know a lot of people who do that. Like
Oh, I thought she said David should just plan it and then just fill everyone in.
No, like Stevie should just plan it and then tell the bride.
See, that was tough for me when I was planning too, because I did want Crystal's input as to what she wanted to do, but I didn't want to tell her everything we were doing.
Yeah, totally. My brothers have all like done the same thing for their bachelor parties when they've gotten married, where they like, they don't even tell the groom where they're going. They basically like kidnap them and then
and,
they end up,
and throw
like,
them in the back with a
they end up in like a, they end up in some like cabin up north in Michigan somewhere.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, Stevie is realizing that there's a lot that goes into being a maid of honor, more than she thought, and it's clear she is in over her head.
Okay.
And Stevie makes the observation on her own that maybe Alexis should be maid of honor, and clearly she's better suited for the job, and this is what's, you know,
she's here now, so
she's here now, and Alexis is like, you know, maybe, like, she doesn't even like,
I can see why you and other people would think that.
Maybe. And it's hard to get a read of what David's thinking. Clearly he still wants to stay out of the drama, but he's like pretending to go
just watching
the,
this whole situation,
the suits
unfold.
And the rack, just yes. Watching it unfold, doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but like maybe a little bit does want Alexis to step into this role. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Alexis, you know, basically says like, yeah, maybe if it's too much for you, I could step in, and like trying to make it sound like she's being gracious. This cues Stevie having a full on breakdown.
Yes.
About what am I doing with my life? And like, I'm in my 30s, unemployed for the second time in a week. I walked away from a job that I love. That was great. Finally admitting that.
Yeah.
And it's not just the maid of honor duties. It's everything right now is falling apart. And like I said, Dave is just trying to stay out of the drama. And Alexis, who's sitting with Stevie, kind of tries to console her and realizes that Stevie does need a win right now.
Yeah.
And for that reason, she says, you need to stay maid of honor, and even offers to help her through it all. Says, I'll be here this next month and we can tag team basically, but you can officially be the maid of honor, which is a really big, generous move.
Warm and fuzzy moment here.
Totally. And you can see David is kind of surprised, but like glad that Alexis found that resolution on her own. You can see that Stevie needs it. And she needs to have some sort of purpose, I think. And this is going to make her feel accomplished, even if she needs help along the way, basically. So it's just kind of cute to watch David standing back like he's a proud mom of his kids.
When
they're like conflict managing
When the
themselves.
Breakdown started happening, though, he was like, oh, I'm going over
Let
here.
Let me go check out these suits real quick. Yeah.
He was not interested in that part of the support.
And then it's funny too. Alexis goes in for a hug, but Stevie quickly like pushes
No.
We don't need to go that far. No. Just then, Patrick, who's been apparently getting, you know, squeezed into a suit this whole time, comes out of the changing room, and everyone's like impressed. Like it's say yes to the dress, and I love David. He's like, since when did James Bond shop in Elm Glen? Because he is wearing like a tuxedo with like a shiny lapel, and
it's nice.
It's pretty
sassy.
Dapper. Yeah. And he's like, or Alexis suggests that Stevie picks out a tie. Like, she's really trying to include Stevie.
Here's your first decision.
Here's your first
maid of honor. Yep.
Aesthetic decision. But clearly she's not quite there yet, because she's giving her two options. And the one Stevie grabs, Alexis like gripping it like, nope. And she's like kind of
Which one's your
head.
Favorite, though?
And David's even doing the same thing. Like, they're trying to coach her a little bit. And she realizes what they're doing. But just for fun, she's like, this one, like just playing a lot.
Good choice, Stevie. Good choice, Stevie.
Yep. And David is just excited, not that the conflict was resolved about maid of honor, but also that their wedding is coming up. And he's like, can we just get married already? And then says, just kidding, I need months of pageantry.
Yeah.
Stevie does a little thank you quietly to Alexis, who gives her a little wink wink at the end, like they've got each other's backs, which is really cute and sweet. And then our final episode, kind of surprising, we're not even in Schitt's Creek for the final, or not episode.
Our final scene.
The final scene, the scene of the episode is still at the tuxedo shop, but it's just a cute little wrap up moment where it looks like Patrick and Stevie are kind of sorting out the suit rental over at the desk with whoever's running this business. And Alexis and David are having a little side convo. And he's like, I can't believe you were willing to step down to let Stevie keep the crown as maid of honor. And Alexis is like, yeah, I can just tell she needed it more than I did. And I'm going soft or something. Who am I? And Alexis, I do like, she's like, you know, on the day it might really sting that I'm not that in that role, but you know, she realized that that was the right thing. And David says, well, you know, I have an idea for something that you could do instead. And Alexis
I love this.
David, I'm too old to be a flower girl. Come on. He's like, no, that's not it. And in a very sweet sibling moment, he says that he would love if she gave her away and walked her down the aisle.
So cute. This makes me tear up like every time.
It does. And you can tell she's like really surprised and moved by it. It's emotional. But then, of course, we got to go back to the comedy because she's like, that's like literally the most important role. I'm like, okay, Michael Scott. Remember when he pushed Phyllis's dad in his wheelchair and thought it was his big day and then ruined it all?
Oh, boy.
So now she's like back on board. She has a purpose. So she feels excited. And then she's like really getting carried away. She's like, well, maybe I could be the flower girl. I could like come down in my flower dress.
Loop back around.
Loop back, do a quick outfit change, and then do the thing. And Dave was like, okay, you know what? Never mind. I'll just ask Jocelyn instead. And she gives him a little double boop as we wrap up the episode. So yeah, it's a great growth moment for Alexis, but also David and Alexis with their sweet little sibling moment. Stevie is maybe realizing her life at the motel wasn't as bad as she thought. And her future definitely doesn't exist with Larry Ayer. She's figured that out.
Nah, I don't think Larry's future exists with Larry Ayer.
I don't think so either, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, that's it.
So, yeah, that's our episode. Katie, I have just one would you rather scenario that I was able to come up with.
Excellent.
At this time in your life, would you rather be a maid of honor, a flower girl, or a videographer?
Oh, man. I'll take the flower girl. I'll take the flower girl. There's a trend going on now where people will invite their grandmothers to be flower girls, which is really cute.
And if I had more than one grandmother left, I would love that because I think that's so sweet and endearing. I'm not going to put my only grandma on the spot for that. But I've also seen, I think this is hilarious, where they do flower boys, but it's not flower as in like flower power. It's like flour as in gluten. And they're handing out bread. Well,
Crystal and Dan, one of their bridesmaids, did I tell you this? One of their bridesmaids couldn't come. She was super pregnant. So then the guy she was meant to walk with turned into a beer boy and he passed out beers as he walked down the aisle.
That's super cute.
Yeah. I do love the gluten, the flower boy.
I would love a flower boy.
The bread. Ugh.
I love just like mixing it up. I think we're trying to do that with our wedding too. Like, well, I say we, it's mostly me, Sushant.
Non-traditional thing. Yeah, just, right?
And we're a non-traditional couple in terms of our like merging of our backgrounds. And like, I also feel like because most of my family's already been married that I just feel this permission to do whatever the hell I want. And I love that because it's like everyone else has done the traditional route, which was great. And like the families have had those experiences. And so now I'm just like, I literally feel free reign. Permission to do whatever I want, which has been really nice. So not feeling the familial guilt yet. Trying to keep that at bay. But yeah, that's the episode. Well, everybody.
Awesome. We've got a maid of honor and an assistant to the maid of honor.
We do. And we have a person to give away the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick has a suit.
Excellent.
So check on that as well.
We're rolling with this.
We are rolling. Yeah. All right, Katie, should we ask some questions to our audience? Have you been a maid of honor?
Have you planned a bachelorette party? Yes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about all these bachelor and bachelorette festivities nowadays.
Yeah. Any wild stories from attending or your own bachelor party?
Find some of those. Yes. Yeah.
Would love to hear them. Anything to do with like the other storylines? Those were a little bit shorter. Do you get food out of random vending machines?
What's your vending machine?
What's your go-to vending machine order?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you go for the candy, the chips, the miscellaneous?
Would you choose the bag of money or the gun? If they were dividing up assets.
Or the Polly Puffs. Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Next week, Katie,
Let me look here. Next week, I'm taking the lead, and Alexis is going to have a big event. She's been doing some PR stuff for the Crows movie, and she's got a big idea coming next week. And Patrick and David are going to have kind of an important discussion next week, too, all while under the influence of general anesthesia. So,
okay,
we'll see where that lands them next week.
That'll be fun.
Steph, I think next week's is going to be our last before vacation, because I think I was looking at my calendar and I'm not going to have time to do one before I leave after next week.
Okay, so we'll get through next week. We'll
might
take a
be
break
off
for a few weeks.
2 weeks, I think we'll be off.
Okay, and then we come back, I think, around Halloween.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll October discuss. Is literally, when this episode comes out, I think it's like October 1st. What the
yep,
hell?
Sunday the 1st. And you know what? It's supposed to be warm here in Michigan still, and my pool is still open. So I'm hoping to get one last pool day, and on Sunday, October 1st.
That would be awesome.
I was telling a friend of mine today, I might have to break the no drinking record rule that day just to have an Oktoberfest in the pool.
I would say, does it count if you're in the pool?
That's the thing. It's supposed to be 80 on Saturday, 81 on Sunday, 82 on Monday, 84 on Tuesday.
Wow.
Oh, he's swimming all next week. 82 Beautiful. On Wednesday.
You Hot guys, damn. I'm mostly distracted because Katie's cat is sprawled out behind her on the ground like she's
having
Rose
a
being
bath.
Sketched by Jack on the Titanic. It's very glamorous. Hey. We might have to get a screenshot of this to post, because she's just too freaking cute. All right, you guys, I think those are enough tangents for 1 week.
Yes.
We look forward to the premiere next week, and please participate in our polls. And we love you.
About to go check out that Celebrity Jeopardy, so we'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, good luck to Emily. Hope she kills it.
All right, until next week, guys, best wishes.
Warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.